All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read verses 4 through 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 13, here we go. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? Notice the accent on the universal body. This is not speaking of a local body. When you're joined properly to the universal body, you will be all right in the local body. But it is possible to be all right in the local body and not correctly oriented to the universal body. Too much accent on the local body causes the building of little kingdoms. And if people should leave our church and go to another church, we feel, oh, isn't that awful? We shouldn't feel that way. It's one body of Christ. Most of it's in heaven at any given time. And it is really, to get a hold of the body concept, you have to do like Catherine said. You have to reset your computer. You just have to turn it off and turn it on again to clear out all of the stuff that interferes. It's an excellent analogy because we are accustomed to thinking in terms of the Christian religion and of attending church. Well, that's passé now, and I know people are slow to change, and it'll probably be another 200 years before we get the message. But what is important is that we, each one, is part of the great universal body of Christ. There's only one. And if you have the Spirit, you're in that body. We hear sometimes people speak of a Jewish church. There is no Jewish church. There is no Gentile church. There is no Hispanic church. These are all right to use if they're serviceable in a given situation. But as it says here, there is one Spirit, one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. The body is a unit. Does that seem clear to you? Huh? Smile in case Dave catches you on the film up there. All right. Now, what does it take? We're members of the body by virtue of what? Receiving God's Spirit. See, by water, you're baptized into the kingdom of God. The water shows that you're leaving the world and entering the kingdom of God by virtue of your death on the cross and your resurrection with Christ. But the baptism with the Holy Spirit is another baptism. It's not into the death of Christ, it's into the body of Christ. So you are baptized by the Spirit into this one great universal body. Now because of that, and because it's so incredibly significant and important, it makes everything else in our life must of necessity be assigned a lower rank in the priority scale. Because the Christ, see, did you notice here, I want you to notice one sentence here in particular. If you can see it in verse 12. So it is with Christ. How many see that? Three people. Anybody else? Oh, there's a couple more. So it is with Christ. Now let that sink in. I mean, that isn't. That you will not read that anywhere else in the New Testament. No other apostle or teacher that wrote has this fact that Paul was given by revelation. So also is Christ. So it is with Christ. You see? Can you get it? Now, that does not mean we're equal to Jesus Christ. It does not mean that. It does not mean we were with God from the beginning and created all things. It does not mean that. Jesus remains Lord. Okay? Having that assurance, you can safely think about the awesome implications of this statement, this sentence. So it is with Christ. Now, he's comparing Christ to a human body. And he's saying the body has many parts. Well, one of the parts of the body is the head. Is that right? You agree to that? Is your head a part of your body? Fine. Okay. We're all in agreement on that. Now, that's where you can get off. If Christ is the head and we are members and it's one body, maybe we're as great as Christ. So I'm explaining to you in advance, that's a spur track. That's not the point. Christ remains Lord. Nobody prays to the Father in your name, I hope. Nobody's baptized in water in your name. Baptized into you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you. Is that right? No? I think it is. Yeah, nobody. So I want to keep that distinction because some have erred in that and gotten a little carried away. I want to make that distinction. Jesus remains Lord. He is part of a body, a genuine part of a body of which you are a genuine part. Just as your finger is as much a part of your body as your head. Is that right? Now, Josh got poison oak. Okay. His head will tell him. His skin will tell him to scratch. His head will tell him not to do that because it will spread it and maybe cause an infection. Is that right? But his head will be occupied with the poison oak. Now, he stepped in a gopher hole, which did not do well for his ankle. All of this while he's on maneuvers. I told him that certainly both of those are worth a purple heart. Do you agree? I think they're worth a purple heart. So anyway, the head, I'm sure Josh has spent a lot of time thinking about that ankle. Where is he? Is that right, Josh? You spend some time contemplating your ankle. All right. That it's hard for us to grasp that. We're so used in church to come and Jesus is here and we're there and somehow the twain will never meet. Well, that is, as I say, it served for 2,000 years. It is not serving today because God is moving forward in his kingdom. Now, Pentecost has been celebrated all through the last century, the 20th century. It is established. It has been rescued from the darkness that it fell into during the Dark Ages. Now, God is moving forward, and it's new to us. We do not realize the wonders that God has for us in this day. I don't suppose for any of us the Pentecost is a new experience. But God does not waste his time. The goal is to be made in the image of God. Well, we're not there yet. And it is not something that is open-ended or left to chance. It's as specific as the blood atonement. It's as specific as the baptism with the Spirit. Pentecost is number 4 in a series of 7 convocations, 3 remaining to be fulfilled spiritually. We are in the process now of the fulfillment of the last 3 feasts of the Lord. The end result will be people in the image of God as man was destined from the beginning, and also at rest in God's rest that was established at the beginning. That is, in the perfect center of God's will, the rest where Christ lives. So we're pioneering today. We're pioneering. And with pioneers, there's a lot to consider. One, it does not make for a lot of fellowship. 2, it's dangerous. But when you pioneer, there are advantages. Now, I like to think about that because where we are now, some of the areas in the United States used to sell for a nickel an acre. Where I live up now, it's 400,000. What was it? 400,000, wasn't that the latest figure? What was it for an acre up there? I think it was 400,000. Not the house, just the land. Because it's nearly an acre. Just the land. Well, back in the days of the pioneers, land was going for a nickel an acre. So, what we're doing today is described in Isaiah. It's called casting up the highway of holiness. And you see, it used to be around here, there's just dirt paths. And now there's paved highways. Well, somebody paved those highways. Well, it's that way with holiness. You read in Isaiah, cast up the highway, cast up the highway. And if we are faithful in doing that, after us will come throngs, multitudes of people who will be able to travel easily on this highway of holiness that has been cast up in our time by faithful people. Does that make sense to you? So don't expect everybody to understand you when you talk about the kingdom of God or the things that God is doing. It will be given to those who God looks down and sees they have an honest and good heart, but you can't hurry the process. God will pick one here and one there. So the concept of the church and the priest and the pastor and this and that has served for 2,000 years. Now God is opening to our understanding something that always has been there. There's no revelation coming forth that's new. All the revelation is in the Scriptures. It's just that there's a spiritual covering on the Scriptures and you can't understand it until God gives you understanding. And you get understanding by adding to your faith virtue. You can read that in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter. That's how your eyes are open. As you live righteously and serve God, your eyes will be open and you will understand what is written. Now, what I'm speaking to you about this morning is this concept of the body of Christ, which goes far above the concept of a church and a membership. Now, churches and memberships are serving. We have to serve the state of California and the federal government. We have certain requirements because we have tax-exempt collections, and we understand that, and we do it faithfully and as accurately as we can. However, in the spiritual aspect of the church, we no longer think of ourselves as the traditional church. The church is not a neighborhood club. The church is the lampstand of God. That means it's the prophet of God in the neighborhood. Very important concept that we do not conceive of the church as a social club. The church is the prophet, it's the lampstand, it's the prophet of God. It stands in the local neighborhood as a rebuke to the world. That's the purpose of the church, is to stand, to present the person, ways, will, and eternal purpose of God in Christ. And as such, It's a constant rebuke to the world. Now, there's crept into our thinking over the last few years the idea we want to be friendly and reach out to the community. Well, that's fine. We should be friendly and we should reach out to the community. But we must keep in mind that we must work with the Holy Spirit. See, because the Holy Spirit is the one who builds the church. See, these gifts are given by the Spirit. He's acting sovereignly here. The Spirit is not a good feeling. He is God. He is sovereign. And He gives gifts according to His own will. And it's been given to Him by the Father to build the church of Jesus Christ. And so when we go out in a friendly manner, certainly. We do not have our private devotions in public and turn people off. Hopefully we use common sense. But we're aware when we're thinking, we're not out here like gathering up candidates for a labor union or something. We are ministering in the Spirit of God as the Holy Spirit builds the lampstand of God. Does that make sense to you? So it's much more supernatural. It's much more forward-looking, I guess, than we have thought. So what we're concerned with now is the great body of Christ. Most of it's in heaven at any given time. The head is in heaven by the right hand of God, and we're on the earth, but we are an integral part of that body. And I do believe they are apprised of what's going on in the earth. I don't think that scripture in Hebrews 12, where it says we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, is speaking in a kind of a literary, poetic way. I think we literally are surrounded, and the church, they brought us this far with their testimony and their efforts, and now we are pioneering in the earth, and they're learning from us. I certainly believe that's true. So it's very important, this concept. See, the whole body is being built up by that which every joint supplies. So if you and I are members of the one great universal body of Christ, if this is the case, and the Bible says it is, if we are Christ in that sense, now you remember the safeguards I gave you, if we are Christ in that sense, so it is with Christ. The word merely means anointed. That's all it means. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means anointed. And if we are the body of the anointed, if we are part of that body that God has elected from the foundation of the world, and we become conscious of that, it should, if we are sane and think logically, dramatically rearrange our scale of priorities. See, because if we conceive of ourselves as a church member, then we do our duty on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night, hopefully, and the rest of the time we live our life. Well, that isn't the concept of the body of Christ. The concept of the body of Christ is that any point at any time, 7/24, we are representing Christ. We are ready to pray. We are ready to counsel. We don't force it on people. We don't have a spirit of proselyting. God deliver us from that. But we are ready to give an answer, to hold forth the word of life as it is indicated, moving with the Holy Spirit at all times. So there's no time where we're saying, well, now I go to church and I'm holy, I'll put on my holy hat and act real nice. And then Monday we're out there using four-letter words, you know, and hassling the bassle out in construction or wherever we are. Well, I've worked in the world for most of my life. Now I'm a pastor, so I'm not working. What I do is I bear witness. But I have worked since I was about 14. I started in, and I've been at work every time up until I became a pastor at the age of 50. All right, so I know what it's like. Don't say, well, he's there. He sits in his walnut-lined study and reads his commentaries, and he doesn't know what is out here where most of the guys are on speed and so that they can get the stuff done in time. So the investor gets 100% on his money. You know how it's a rat race, and it's mean, and everybody on Friday night does a tailgate party and they get drunk, and that's the way they survive. So they're on speed and booze at the same time. And so life goes on, and the language is not acceptable in church, And that's life, okay? You say, I can't live it there. Hey, you can live it there. You can be a light there. But what do I do when they start in with their filthy jokes? Just be yourself. They'll get the vibes. If you try to be one of the boys, they won't get any vibes. If you try to be an invisible Christian, have you ever heard that term? I'll go underground, and I'll swear, and I'll drink, and I'll do drugs and everything, and they won't even know I'm a Christian. I'm an underground Christian. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah, that's one way of getting around the situation. No, you're not an underground Christian. You stand up for what you believe, and you don't go around with a pocket full of tracts saying, have you read this? You're going to hell if you don't. That's proselyting. That's not God. It does more harm to the church than good, I'll tell you. Turns off people. They can smell the gunpowder, as Oswald Chambers said. No, you don't do that. What you do is you bear witness by what you are. You overcome the devil by what you are. One time I was standing guard duty in Japan. The Marines stand guard duty everywhere. They stand guard duty at boot camp. I stood guard duty at boot camp. I don't know how to guard a building or something when there's nothing there in the whole thing in Paris Island but buildings, but you still stand guard duty. I've stood guard duty in the hold of a ship, standing guard over tanks in an LST. Four on, eight off, four on, eight off. Oh, trying to stay awake. Well, looking at those stupid things. They don't even break their chains and roll around in the hull, so you got something to do. Nothing. They're just there until the LST hits the beach. So, one time I was in Japan. This was after VJ Day, and I was in Japan. I was standing guard duty in some kind of a field, warehouse or open warehouse, open field with big cartons in it. Well, the word got back to me that some of the darling boys were having fun with the Japanese girls in these big cartons. So, and I'm supposed to be standing guard duty here. And that is not legal. That is not nice. And some of the Japanese girls had leprosy, so that was even not nicer than that. So I'm carrying my... I had some kind of a light carbine or something on my shoulder, and sure enough, here comes some guys that want to come on the base and mess around. And I said, no, you can't come on. You can't come on this base. No. Yeah, well, you know. And I lowered the carbine on. And furthermore, if they'd have forced their way, I would have shot them. It's what you're supposed to do. Well, you may not like that, but that's the truth. So anyway, after a while, the officer of the day came by and he says, how's the post? He says, secure, it's all fine, sir. And it was. Well, that wasn't the end of it. See, after I was off duty, I had to go back into the barracks with these guys. So I sat on the edge of my bunk. I can still remember it. And the leader came by and stood in front of me. And he's a fairly good-sized man. And I thought, well, here it comes. I'm a Christian. I'd been a Christian for a couple of years. I thought, I'm not supposed to hit back or anything. And so whatever happens, happens. I didn't stand up, try any judo chops or anything. I figured, because the Bible says, turn the other cheek. So I was ready to do that. I figured I did what I was supposed to. And he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yep. He said, well, I'm Pentecostal, and I'm backslid. He walked away. That was the end of the story. So if you do what's right, no matter what kind of pressure is put on you, I don't mean if you're being arrogant, show-off, trying to be a smart. I won't finish that. That doesn't count. But if you're praying and doing what you're supposed to do, God will honor you wherever you are. I didn't need to pass out a tract to him. He'll never forget that. Maybe he got back to the Lord. I don't know. I never heard a sequel to it. But that, the body of Christ, has nothing to do really with coming to church. I don't have anything to do with that in a way. It's what you are as a person. Whether you go to a party, whether you're on the job, whether you're in college or where you are Christ in the sense I'm using now. You're not Jesus Christ, but you are an anointed part of the universal body. Does that make sense? Now, what that does, it rearranges the priorities of your life. Because here, we're reading about the different functions in the body, and there are nine of them, but these are not all. These are supposed to be give you an idea of what you can expect, because they're not repeated the same way in other parts. Now, what do you do about these gifts? Well, if you say, if God wants me to have one, He'll give it to me. Well, you'll never get it. God wants people who really care. See, if you think of yourself as going to church and working on a job and that's it, you're never going to get these gifts. Forget it. You have to be living in what I call a prophetic milieu. That is, you have to be living where wherever you are, you're able to pray, bear witness, take communion or whatever. You have to live in that holy way. Well, you say, that sounds like a drag. Well, maybe it is, but that's what it means to be a Christian. And the rest is church membership. And it'll blow away someday when the things get tough enough and they're heading up that way. You know? And then the real Christians will meet together in hiding somewhere. But you won't be there because it will cost too much. But if you're living in the prophetic milieu, you'll be there. If they take your kids and your job and your life and everything, you'll be there. Why? Because you're not living in the world. You're living before the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in Him, praying without ceasing. You're a lampstand. And people will feel that. We overcome Satan by the word of our testimony. People will feel that. I know this from experience, and I think many of you do too. That when you're living right, people will not swear around you. I don't care where you are. They feel it. How many have ever experienced that? That's what it means to bear witness. There isn't a lot of talk about church. It's when you go near people, they quit swearing. And if you're living before Christ, that is exactly what will happen. You don't have to tell them sometimes. Sometimes you can tell them something. Most of the time, it's best to just be in Christ. Now, these gifts are given to us to help us. But you get them by, like somebody gave you a list and said there's a bunch of free stuff to be handed out somewhere, and you're reading and say, boy, I'd like that. Look, they're going to give away. Oh, boy, I'd like that. They're going to give away that. Well, let me think, what one do I want? That's the only way you're going to get into this stuff. Otherwise, you're going to be 90 years old still thinking about it and it never happened. You have to come before God. This is my life. I'm a member of the body of Christ, and I need these things to operate. And then when God gives you something, and He will, I never heard of anybody asking for the Holy Spirit. Never. That didn't get it. People a lot of times pray for revival and they don't get it. But I never heard of anybody praying for the Holy Spirit that they didn't get it. The Lord doesn't tell us to pray for revival. He tells us to pray for the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Because revival is in your terms, what it's going to be like. Oh, I know what I mean by revival. Everybody coming into the church, we have to have two services, and there's a big commotion. And God, what does God care about a big commotion? That isn't going anywhere. You pray for the Holy Spirit, and it will go somewhere in your life. But you've got to set yourself apart, and you've got to mean business with God. Because if he can put you off, he will. And if the devil can scare you, he will. So you keep praying like this, and I'm going to take all your children. Oh, he does these things, believe me. Your life's going to be terrible. He'll do anything to get, and so will God, get you anything to get you up off your knees. But you remember the man said, I need bread, and he said, go away, I'm asleep. How many remember that? Go away, I'm asleep. He's trying to put you off. He said, would God do that? Yes. He wrestled with Jacob. He didn't dance with him. And he wounded Jacob. You wrestle with God long enough, you get wounded. Oh, yes. You'll lose your arrogance. You wrestle with God and you won't be a hotshot. We don't wrestle with God because we want to be great or seen or anything else. We do it because our heart goes up to our Father and we want to bless Him and bless Christ and bless the rest of the world with the Holy Spirit. And when God sees that attitude, that we're not asking something for ourselves, but for others, He will answer. I say, God will answer. And you'll notice it in your life. And then you have to begin to, excuse me, think of that. That is the most important thing in your life. If God gives you a gift, that's your identity. That's what you are. You have wisdom to give to people. You have knowledge to give to people. I don't think these speaking in tongues here is talking about what we call tongues. I think it's languages. Languages. God wants to do a quick work in the end time. I know that. I can see the world going into a moral cesspool that's beyond belief. God wants to reach people. Lisa, we got a thing, that thing for you. Where's that? Up, that's up around the Galilee area, isn't it? There's a bunch of Christians up there, and some were Druids, and some were Arabs, and some were Hebrew, but they're all Christians now. Now listen to this, because there's a tremendous lesson here. An Arab Christian boy, okay? Arab Christian, part of this community up there, near where Roberta is, up toward the Galilee in northern Israel. Okay, he, using electronic means, using a computer, he took some of the girls that people knew, young ladies, and he put their heads on naked women. Okay? Manufactured this with some kind of electronic means. Kids are far more into this than most of us adults. Isn't that true? I was reading the Art magazine this morning, and they've got a thing in there so you can learn about computers, catch up with your kids. But anyway, you know what it resulted in? A war. The Arabs went on a rampage. Not the Christians, the Arabs. And what happened on that, Lisa? What did they do?
People left for their lives.
Burn down the homes of Christians. You say, isn't that terrible? You know what it tells me? That young man that did that, I don't know, he's supposed to be a Christian, but we, in between grace and trying to appease the young people or whatever we're doing, didn't give that boy enough of Christ. An Arab, that is so contrary to their culture, so abominable. It's why they knocked down the World Trade Center. It's for this very reason, because they feel that as Christians we're of Satan and immoral, and the boy proved it. The boy proved it. So many suffered because this boy was not a disciple. He might have been called a Christian, but he didn't have enough of Christ to know that was wrong. Boy, when I think of that, what a picture that is of what is wrong with the American church. That boy, I guess, had never been taught he was a member of the body of Christ. He thought this was cute. Cute! It cost people their homes. It destroyed the Christian testimony. Some of these people were Druids, came out of the Druid religion, and the Arabs attacked them too because they were Christians because one young man, let me tell you something while I'm on this subject. We need to get more serious with our kids. We do. We do. I was thinking this morning when we were in here before the burden bearers from 8:30 to 9 praying. The only young person in here was Kylie Weaver. We should have our kids should be leading us, hitting the altar, praying, getting gifts, and setting the standard. And I think we are shortchanging them with our expectations that they've got to be having fun all the time. Well, I didn't mean to go on that. In fact, I was thinking about it, and I felt, Lord, I'm not going to lay that on the people. But I did, didn't I? But I didn't mean to. So you have to forgive me. Like Judge says, forgive me. Forget that man behind the curtain. But I think we have missed something in good old Mount Zion with our young people. I think we have missed something. I don't see the fire. I don't see young people coming to the altar and weeping before God. It's like they're a separate group from us. Now, thank God there's a few people that come and start praying at 8:30. And I wish more people would come because it brings the presence of the Lord. It does. It brings the presence of the Lord. Now, I know some live so far away that you can't make it. It's terribly inconvenient or you have babies or something. I appreciate that. But if you can come, and if we could get one person, one young person between the age of 12 and 25, maybe, in here, so I would know as a pastor that I was rightly related to the young people. And I think the fault is mine because I fell into this thing, they've got to have a good time, they've got to have a good time. Well, I don't think the young people in the catacombs had a good time. Now, I know in Southeast Asia when the man put the challenge to the young ladies that came and they wanted to join the church, he said, are you ready to die for Christ? Well, God, something wrong in my thinking. But I get soft on young people fast. Fast. Sloppy. Well, Thompson, learn if you can. But I'll look forward to the day when we have got young people who are on fire for God and do not need to be what? What's the word?
Entertained.
Yeah. Entertained. That's it. It's an American phenomenon. It isn't like that all over the world. I've been in India. I've seen the kids there. It's an American phenomenon that somehow, and you know, we don't prepare them for life. There's tough things coming in the future, tough things. And how the world, are they going to be able to stand unless they have learned how to pour themselves out before God and pray? They won't. And as parents and as a pastor, it's our fault, not theirs. We never laid the law down and said, look, this is what it means to make Jesus. We said, we want to keep them happy so they'll keep coming. So bring them to Disneyland, bring them here and everything. We've done wrong, and I'm more at fault than anyone. And I didn't mean to say any of that this morning. So you were doubly blessed, and so I really ought to take up another offering. We've got to teach the kids that they're members of the body of Christ, and as such, yes, we have a good time. We recognize, especially small children, have to have fun, clamber all over the place. We understand that. And we're aware of growth and development patterns, which we studied in college. But when I read about the world and the way the world goes and to see everything, I know that we have better, our kids better get tough in the Lord and they better know Christ for themselves and not have to be entertained to do it. Thank you very much. Everybody said?
Amen.
There you go. All right, anyway. The body of Christ. And you know, you can't expect four-year-old children to be in the body of Christ, but by the time they get 12, they're old enough to be in a minion. They're old enough to be in a Jewish group of adults and administer the law. 12. I think we're shortchanging them. Well, if my little darling doesn't have a good time, they may not come to church, and then what will I ever do? Well, I appreciate that. As I say, I hold myself more guilty than anyone else, but I'm praying that God will give me perspective. And as this church goes forward, we need a right relationship between the parents and the youth. And that is that the parents are the parents, and the youth are the youth, and they're all one part of the body of Christ. And the parents, we may not be notoriously intelligent, but we do have experience. I was saying to somebody, I've been where you are. You've never been where I am. So cut me some slack. You do learn something after a while. How many have learned something after a while? Well, the kids can't. They haven't had a chance. So when we give them the impression that they're God's gift to the creation, we're doing them a disservice. They've got to learn the things we've learned the hard way. And we've got to live the lives before them, because if they see us slopping around and we're not doing what we're supposed to, then how can we expect them to? Some will anyway. There's kids that will come in spite of their parents. But we ought to be sending a good example for the young people in terms of our determination to be part of this body of Christ that God wants to use in America, because perilous times are coming. Do you believe that? The world, the newspaper tells us perilous times are coming. I mean, it isn't though, you know, we're making something up. My goodness. So anyway, that's where we are. So if you're going to get miraculous powers, I know there isn't a person in here that wouldn't like to have miraculous powers, because we could kind of show off and be hot stuff. Well, don't let that stop you. Pray for it anyway. If you want to be hot stuff, just pray for it anyway. God will take care of your pride. He'll take care of that. You just pray for it. Don't worry about yourself. And as I said before, you don't get gifts because you're spiritual. Okay? Why do you get them? To make you spiritual. And to make other people spiritual. Spectacular gifts are not a sign of spirituality. Spirituality has to do with the image of Christ. The gifts are given, the Holy Spirit gives them to, according to His wisdom. And He gives them great and powerful gifts to carnal people, honestly. And you look at that and say, I can't accept that man's prayers because look how carnal he is. It reminded me one time Walter Miller telling me he had some kind of a sickness. And Benny Hinn was on the television. Well, some of us have a question about Benny Hinn, some of his dramatic escapades that he does. But anyway, Benny Hinn says, lay your hand on the television, you'll be healed. Well, Walter, he didn't believe in Benny Hinn, but he laid his hand on the television, and guess what happened? Don't you know? He was healed. Because he obeyed the man of God. He said, but the man of God is carnal. Whatever you think. I don't know whatever Walter thinks. All he knows is he was healed. And I have seen that. You cannot judge the messenger. That's why Jesus said, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. One time, Sister Dow, she's deceased now, and a very refined lady. Her daughter went to the bishop's school in La Jolla. Very fine lady. And there was an old Brush Arbor evangelist came through, and these men are pretty rough, and he was grotesque, and they spit in the aisle and everything else. And she was so turned off, you know, at this ugly-looking specimen coming, coarse, slaughtered the King's English, everything was wrong in it. Woo! You know. The Lord said to her, blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. Right? So we don't look at the messenger. We look to the Word of God, we look to God, and we take the healing where we can get it. We don't look to who's got it, or how carnal we think they are. We just, in the same way, with preaching the Word or anything else. So, you might say, man, I'm so carnal, it's pitiful. But I want a gift of miracles. Pray for the gift of miracles. You're a real good candidate because you're humble. Somebody else will come and say, Lord, you know me. I fast twice a week and I've always served you in everything. And now I think you owe me these miracles. You'll probably get a gift of sweeping the floors. Well, that's a gift too. All right. And certainly needed. No one wants a dirty floor around here. All right. speaking and interpretation of tongues. And I think this is known languages here. And it's going to be needed. We're not going to have time to learn Arabic and all the dialects in India and all the dialects in China and everything else. It would help a lot if God would just give us the ability, wouldn't it? Now, I'm speaking to what young people are here. Don't think this is for adults at 30 years or older or something. This is for you. This is for you, if you care enough to go after it. If you do, come here at 8:30 and pray with us. You'll see there's a good spirit here. And our attendance is slowly building. I encourage everyone to come, if you can. I know some cannot. All right. The body is a unit. Speaking of the physical body, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, with the anointed deliverer. He's made of many parts. And when he comes, the whole body will come, head and body, the whole thing will come. And you can be part of that, but you must begin now. You can't wait till then. You must begin now. If you want to be ready for the Lord when he comes, you'll have to be living in Christ now. See, the dead in Christ. You'll have to be in Christ, not in church, in Christ. Not in theology, in Christ. Which is what I told you, is living 7:24, being aware of the Lord's will in every situation, prepared to use the gifts that God has given you. If you do, he'll give you more. He's a businessman. If you don't use what you got, you're going to lose it, it's going to come to somebody else, and you're going to go into outer darkness. Now, you become blind. Yes, sir, I've seen that. All right, and the rest of this you can understand. We cannot say to one another, I don't need you, blah, 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 blah. Now, in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of, do you get that? You feel that? The body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Will I do something for you? Well, Brother Dowell, you say when things get tight, take up another offering, that will loosen it up. We are the body of Christ. All right. God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Speaking of the human body. So that your toenails have great honor. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, that means we can't slam each other. Hello? That means we can't slam each other. How many of you have a dog that you like to take out for a walk? And I don't mean a four-legged one. Temper tantrum? Jealousy, arguing. Every once in a while, you got that dog, you're going to take him out for a walk. When you find yourself coming against a member of the body of Christ, just remember, you're way out of line. Well, I'm right. Well, possibly you may be, but the issue is not whether you're right or not. The issue is how you're treating the members of the body of which you are a part. Is that right? Can everybody say amen? Can you get a hold of that dog and break his neck? I'm not taking you out anymore. All you do is cause trouble for me and everybody around me. Well, I better hasten on after that. I see that. Now, you are the body of Christ, and in the church, God has appointed. Now, I'm about through, and I know that I've gone on and on and on and on. But I want you to notice something here. God has anointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, thirdly, teachers. Where's the other two of the great five? What are the great five? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Everybody bow. How How many have heard that taught that these are the five great things that shall come into the church in the last days? Anybody? Nobody? Good. I won't have to turn off the computer then. You'd be afraid to say so anyway, because you'd pick up on my attitude. Because those five are not repeated again, we know that they're not supposed to be five great superior ministries in the body. We fall into these things because we like to make, some people like to be lords and other people like to worship them. The type of the tabernacle shows there are not five great ministries, but there are four primary ministries. But I notice here that pastors and teachers aren't mentioned. Why not? Because they're not supposed to be big exalted ministries. Then instead of saying then pastors, he says then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing. Those able to help others. Is anybody in here able to help anybody? Some people have that gift. Those with gifts of administration. That's what people tell you what you have to do. Nobody likes that. They're not popular. Those speaking in different kinds of tongues. They're set in the body. Are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, this next sentence here is very hard to understand, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, what are the greater gifts? Well, I was talking to a Jewish congregation one time. They said, "You're the rabbi." That's how they got out of that one. What are the greater gifts? You want me to tell you? I don't know. I don't have the foggiest. Does he mean the most spectacular? In that case, it would be miracles. Does he mean the big shots? Well, that would be apostles. I don't know. The way I get out of this, I say, well, whatever one you think is the greater, pray for that one. Whatever in your opinion is the greater gift, pray for that one. Now it says, but think about those greater gifts, read about them, but don't pay too much attention to them, because the next chapter is on love, and that tells you you don't need them anyway. Which makes Paul kind of not really with it. 1 Corinthians 13 is about love. And it says in there, all these things will pass away and everything. The main thing is love. So it kind of reminds me of a kindergarten child saying, I don't want to put up with the sandbox stuff. I'm into quantum mechanics. So I'm just going to bypass all the grades and graduate with my PhD from MIT. That's a good analogy. You should smile. You should say amen. How enlightening that is. Or maybe you don't understand me. What I'm saying is, you don't start off with love. Now, what does he mean by that? Aren't we supposed to have love, 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 love? The shout of love? Love? Anybody got any love around here? Well, the thing is, what we call love is Adamic. And it doesn't last. You'll have so much love for somebody that do something wrong, and then you hate them. Anybody found that to be true? Do you remember? How do you remember the guy there that what was his name? His sister. He fell in love with his sister, so he messed around and finally got her to wait on him to go in. I must have my sister wait on me. Remember that story in the Bible? He was madly in love with her. Oh man, he couldn't get enough CDs that had about love, and he swooned every time he heard them. Well, when he thought about this girl, he made him sick at his stomach. He was so much in love. So there was a shrewd character there. There seems to be a snake in every garden. There was a shrewd character there. Says, well, you just tell your David that you're sick and that you want your sister to minister to you. Isn't that cute? So he does that. He goes to his father, David, and he says, I need my sister to minister to me. And she's a very beautiful young lady, a virgin, mind her own business. So, okay. So the word comes. So she prepares food for him and brings it into him while this whatever he is sacked out. Well, he grabs her, and the rest is in the Bible. And then what did he do? He hated her. I hate you. Get out of here. And she was a wonderful young lady. She says, if you want me for a wife, Dad, David won't refuse us to be married. You're doing this worse than the first. No, get out of here. Now, how in the world, let me ask you a question. Did he really love his sister to begin with? You're agreed on that. Well, what was this that had him with an upset stomach and reading the Song of Solomon? What was it? I don't know whether it was pure lust. I don't know. I think it was Adamic love. It's what we call in America romance. Romance. Ants in your pants. Romance. Well, it's phony. And when we talk to church people about love, we're trying to get up something out of them that sometimes they have and sometimes they don't. Well, I've come to a conclusion. What we should say to people is be kind to one another. Be generous. Be gentle. Don't take your dog out and vomit all over them. Don't do that. Whether you like them or you don't. If they treated you bad and they're thirsty, what should you do? Give them a drink of water. That's what you do. That's all you need to do. Is just act decent. You don't need to go and hug them around the neck and say, I love you, when you can hardly stand them. So then where does chapter 13 comes in that Stan reads at the wedding? That's maturity. If you have these gifts, guess what they'll produce? Love. That's why chapter 13 follows chapter 12. You're moving from the sandbox to quantum mechanics. And you don't jump there after you graduate from kindergarten. There's CMAC run, CMUF run comes in there before then. And the times table. And learning cursive writing, which they never should teach anybody. It's properly called cursive writing. Oh, well. You're a good group. Shall we stand? Now, if you want to, you can come and pray now at the altar if you need to touch the Lord this morning. We want to get our priorities straight. What's really important in life? And it's being a member of the body of Christ. If you need to come and ask for a gift, this is a good time. Once you get out of here and Lynn Miller starts feeding you with all kinds of stuff, you won't remember anything about the gifts of the Spirit. Are you going to feed people this morning, Lynn? Oh. Well, they'll starve. If you need to come, this is the place. This is the time. And God hears every prayer for His Holy Spirit. It's the one thing that is impressed more than any other item of prayer in the New Testament, is the prayer for the Holy Spirit. And God always answers that prayer, not always revival, but He always answers the prayer for the Holy Spirit. And if you feel that you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can stand in the midst of the amphetamines and beer and four-letter words and everything. You can, by the power of Jesus Christ, you can do all things through Christ to strengthen you. You can be more than a conqueror through Christ. So if you feel that you have that need, that you've really not been a burning and a shining light on the job, why don't you come and ask the Lord? I tell you, He always answers prayer for His Holy Spirit. Always, that's one prayer you can count on that He will answer. So if you're working with people and it's a rough environment, the service can be that way, but not nearly as bad as construction from what I've heard. That's the worst of them all. You can be a shining light because, see, the Spirit will give you that power and you'll be at peace and joy when they're complaining, having to work too hard and not using enough the plumb line enough, just slapping stuff together and rushing on, and the boss is neurotic and the investors are on the boss's back and everything. It's a mess. But in the middle of that, God can give you the power and the wisdom. First time I ever spoke in tongues was in a bus station in San Bernardino. First time, right out there in the middle of the hurly-burly, in the middle of the night, trying to get a bus back to San Diego. You don't know, but if you're that way, if you're praying, and I had been praying, God answered me right there in the bus station. He'll do it for you if you'll pray and ask the Lord for more of His Spirit. Don't miss out. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Drink freely the water of life without cost.